pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth, this wonderful blast of hope. And we pray, Lord, that we would feast on it this morning, that you would show us just how wonderful you are, how faithful you are to us. And would we lean into you in the valleys and on the mountaintops of life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is a teaching that comes out of churches, that comes out of teachers in churches, that says, if you are suffering, then your relationship with God is not as it should be. That if your relationship with God is in a good place, then you won't experience suffering. That if you're trusting in Jesus, you'll enjoy health, wealth, and happiness all of your days. You might have heard of it. It's commonly known as the prosperity gospel. When I was living in London, I met two international students, Elizabeth and Grace. And to be an international student in London is a tough gig. London is an expensive place to be a student. London is just a tough place to do life, to survive. It's tough to make friends. It's just tough to get by. And these girls had moved over from Zimbabwe, and they were doing it tough. They were miserable. They had no friends. They were lonely. They were skint. And they were struggling in this big city, a million miles away from home. Now, to make matters worse, they'd started going to a church, and the small group leader in their church had told them that the reason life was tough was because their relationship with God wasn't as it should be. That their relationship with God was deficient. And if they were more committed to Jesus, if they prayed more, if they went to more church services, if they served more, if they gave more money, then life would turn around. Now, that kind of teaching is coming out of churches the world over. It's coming out of YouTube channels the world over. It's coming out of podcasts the world over. Preachers and Christian teachers offering you liberation from your suffering if you believe more, do more, pray more, give more. You might have heard of that. You might not have bought into that from a teacher, but you might think it in your suffering. You might think it, even though you've not bought into it from a church like those Zimbabwe girls. You might think that if you were a proper Christian, then you wouldn't be suffering in the way that you do. That if you did more, God would do more for you. Now, I want to say at the start, that is not true. It's just not true. You open your Bible and suffering is a normal part of living in a fallen world, a world that's turned its back on God, where God has cast us out of his presence. That is a normal part of living in a broken, fallen world. And as you open your Bible, you realize and you soon read that start following Jesus and you experience not health, wealth, and happiness, but persecution for following Jesus. You will know those that if you follow Jesus, there will be people here who have said goodbye to money, to friends, to dreams that they once had because they started following Jesus, made decisions for Jesus, prioritized Jesus as the king of their lives because he is the king of kings. And we need to know that following Jesus won't mean the absence of suffering. We need to get that right. I want to hit that this week. That following Jesus won't mean the absence of suffering. But following Jesus will mean the presence of God in suffering. Following Jesus will mean the promise of God in suffering. Following Jesus will mean the hope of Jesus in suffering. And that's what we hit today in this brilliant passage from 1 Peter. And I want to encourage you to memorize this, feast on it, just, just write it on your doorpost, on your mirror, and just have this at the forefront of your mind. Peter puts it like this, the hope of Jesus in suffering. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope." Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. A living hope, a real hope. Not a dead hope, not a hopeless hope. A hope that because Jesus was raised from the dead, so too we will be raised from the dead, just like Jesus, to be like Jesus. A day is coming. Peter is writing to exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Alison, you did really well with the names. Sorry to stitch you up with those. Peter is writing to people who are doing it tough, just like the girls in London, scattered throughout Asia Minor, what is now modern-day Turkey, writing to people who are different to the world around them. They were followers of a crucified king. They were followers of an invisible friend, a crucified carpenter. And they were followers of this Jesus in a world that was so into the Roman Empire and the security and the status that bought. And they were so into the pagan gods of the Roman world and the ancient world. And it meant for them that suffering came, because they were these outliers. They were strangers, exiles, sojourners, is what one translation calls it. They were suffering physically, materially, socially, politically, mentally, religiously. They were suffering. If there was anyone who should be feeling abandoned by God, should be feeling like they weren't a proper Christian, it would be these people. But yet Peter writes, verse 2, he says, "You have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood." What an amazing thing to say. He says, "You are so special. You are chosen. You're so special, you're so precious to God, so precious that he sent his son to die for you, to cover you." Sprinkling, it means just covering in the blood of his son, his precious one and only son. If there's anything precious, it would be his son. If there was anything more precious, it would be the blood of his killed, murdered son. And he says to these Christians, "You've been sprinkled by that blood, so that you might know him as a father and know the living hope that you have as a child of his, an adopted child of his." I want to this morning to unpack the living hope that we have if we are in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, if we're not a follower of Jesus, I want to unpack the hope that is on the table this morning. Is on the table for each and every one of us. You might have been coming to church for years, but you know that you're not following Jesus. You've kept him at arm's length. You've come close a number of times. Know the hope that is on the table for you this morning, and the hope that brings comfort in the suffering that we may be going through now. We certainly will go through in the future, and we may have gone through in the past. Hope that inevitably comes. Hope that comes in the inevitable valleys of life. So I've got three areas of hope from this passage this morning. Three areas of hope. First is this, the hope of an inheritance. The hope of an inheritance. Let me read from verse 3. If you close your Bibles, open them and follow along and just chew on this stuff. It's brilliant. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." See, when you believe, trust, and follow Jesus, you are given an inheritance. Not someone else, not just some people. You, if you trust Jesus, you are given an inheritance. Now, we're not told explicitly what that inheritance is. But what we do know is that Christians take possession of it. When we rise like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And we see that inheritance is perfect. One writer said, the inheritance is untouched by death, unstained by evil, unimpaired by time. It is compounded of immorality, purity, and beauty. What I think Peter is doing is he's lifting the eyes of his readers to what is promised throughout the Bible to God's people throughout salvation history, and says, it is coming. It is coming. To people who feel lost, who feel lonely, who are hurting, who are feel different in the to the world around them, he says, an inheritance is coming, and you will be with God himself. And to be with God himself is to know complete satisfaction, to know complete relational intimacy, to know a world with no suffering as you go to be with the giver of life, the life source himself. The promise of security and fulfillment like no other. Of course, our world offers all that stuff through a bunch of different means. And the prosperity gospel promises that stuff now in this life. But you read 1 Peter, and you see that God promises not for possession in this life, but a future life, a second life, a new life in the new creation, when we will be raised to be like Jesus, to be with Jesus. Where is this inheritance? Verse 3, kept in heaven for you. You have it. It's in the bank. It's got your name on it. Your passport is stamped, and you just need to go there to receive it. I'm always amazed when there is a plane accident. You see the reports on the news. And you know what they're always doing? What are they always looking for when a plane goes down? The black box. I don't know why they don't make the planes out of the stuff they make the black boxes out of. They're looking for the black box. Well, if you're a Christian here today, your inheritance is the biblical equivalent of the stuff they make the black boxes out of. Nothing can destroy it. No one can touch it. It is not going to fade like your washing. It's not going to fade with the passing of years. And one day when Jesus returns from heaven, he will deliver it to you personally. And it will be amazing. And we will experience life in the new heaven and the new earth. Complete satisfaction of being with God, the source of life, the author of life. No suffering, no pain, no loneliness, no depression, no anxiety, no conflict with other people in your church or in your life. Complete satisfaction, fulfillment and wonder and worship at the God who loves you and made you. That is something of the inheritance that's waiting for us. Alison read that beautiful verse from Isaiah that promised a day when the suffering of this world will be unturned, will be turned on its head. That is what is waiting for us, an inheritance kept in heaven for you. Well, not only is our inheritance being kept in heaven for us, did you notice we are being kept for it? We're being kept for it. That's the second area of hope. If you follow Christ today, you have the hope of God's protection. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Aren't they wonderful, extraordinary words? I was once waiting in a hotel lobby in London. I was doing a job there, and I was just waiting for someone to turn up, this guy that I was meeting with. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, these men in black suits just came around me. Black suits, black ties, dark glasses, and a little American pin badge on their lapel. And I just thought, oh, they found out. They've come for me. And I stood there just curious to know what was happening. And all of a sudden, the president of Afghanistan came down the steps in the lobby. And they all spoke into their walkie-talkies in the lapels and that kind of thing. And it was extraordinary, the amount of protection for one person. One person. Just, I think there must have been about 40 of these secret agents there, whatever they're called, secret service agents, there protecting this one person. Know that if you're a Christian, the president of Afghanistan has got nothing on you. Has got nothing on you. God is protecting you. God is protecting you. He's got his, whatever the equivalent is of the secret service agents speaking into their walkie-talkies, he's got them for you. He is protecting you in your suffering and grief. When you go through the grief of losing someone who is precious to you, be confident that God is keeping you. When you receive the diagnosis that you didn't want to hear, know that God's got you. When you experience the frustration of your body not being what it was meant to be, not being what it used to be, know that God is protecting you. He's speaking into the walkie-talkie. He's got you. He's walking with you. Now, 1 Peter doesn't say God is protecting you from the pain of this world. It will be painful. It won't be easy. It will be hard. And we will face, what does he say? We will face various trials. You will suffer various trials. It won't be easy. But know that God is protecting you, keeping you for your inheritance. No one else in the world has this kind of hope. Everyone is trying to secure that hope for the future. But only those who put their trust in Jesus are being kept for it. And when you realize just how secure you are, how you're being kept for your inheritance and your inheritance is being kept for you, then that changes everything. It changes the now. It changes how we take the news in the doctor's surgery. Len and Cheryl are friends from 430 Church. They've been with us for about a year now. And 6 months ago, Len was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it's just been just incredible to see how they've walked through this season of suffering. Because of Len's immune system and because of the treatment, they haven't been able to come to church. They've said, stay away from crowds. We don't want you catching COVID because you won't be able to come in for treatment. And so it's been a lonely time for them, a difficult time for them, but so encouraging to see from the outside as God keeps them, as they head towards their future inheritance. Cheryl said this. She said, Jesus has reminded us not to give in to bitterness about our situation, but to remember he is in control, even if we don't understand. She said, I think we all try to avoid pain, but often he uses it as deep satisfaction, knowing that he has brought us through many, many trials, and so he will again. His goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life. Hard to fathom, but we really do find ourselves in the middle of a wilderness. Incredible. We know that God is protecting us. We know that God is with us. I don't know what you are going through at the moment, but know that if you are trusting Jesus, God is protecting you. Protecting you to take possession of your inheritance. I don't know what you're going through at the minute, what pain is on your heart, what suffering is causing you grief at the minute. But know that in 3,000 years' time, it will be a distant memory. I think that's why Peter can say verse 6. Just look at verse 6. He says, even if now, for a little while, you've had to suffer various trials. What an incredible phrase. Even if for a little while, you've had to suffer various trials. If you take nothing else away from today, if you forget everything, take that little phrase away, a little while. Your suffering, your misery, our suffering, our misery is just a little while. A tiny blip on the landscape of eternity. Because of Jesus, a day is coming when you can say, do you remember that season when it was just so difficult, when we had all that suffering? And you'll say, well, kind of, but not really. But it was only for a little while. It's incredible hope that we have. God is protecting you for the moment when you will receive your inheritance and be with Jesus for eternity. Hope of God's protection. Third area of hope I want us to see this morning is the hope of refinement. Let me read from verse 6. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. It's incredible truth that is on display here. It's saying that as we wait for our inheritance, as we suffer various trials, as we are protected by God, God is doing something extraordinary in us. He's doing something extraordinary in us. And I don't know whether there is anywhere else in the Bible that articulates this idea in this way as it does here. See, as we are wait for our inheritance, as we are protected for our inheritance, as we go through various trials, God is showing our faith in Jesus to be the genuine article. God is showing our trust in Jesus to be authentic. When I was a student, I used to work in a motorway service station, the places in the UK where people would come in for their chips and beans and Coke and coffee and that kind of thing. And I got to work on the till. And part of the working on the till was checking whether the cash that was being given to you was authentic. And so they'd give you this little training exercise to work out what was the genuine note from the fake note. And so the way they did that was they gave you a bunch of notes, and they showed you that if you rub your thumb along a £10 note, there is the ink is raised. And if you rub a genuine note on a white piece of paper, some of the ink comes off onto the paper. And if you hold it up to the light, there is a watermark in it of Her Majesty the Queen. And if you put this special pen on it and put it under a UV light, something comes up. And if you look at it, there is a hologram on it. You're trained to know beyond doubt what is genuine just by feeling the money. So too, God says that as he keeps us through our suffering, he is testing and displaying our faith in Jesus to be genuine, to be the real deal. Not fake, not a knockoff, not a make-believe faith. Not a make-believe faith. Now, the test for authenticity here doesn't sound nice, does it? Tested by fire. Sounds pretty painful, and some of us will testify to that. It is painful. It is painful. But as God keeps us through suffering, as we keep trusting Jesus, our faith is proved genuine. And I see that in you, brothers and sisters here. I know some of the trials that you have gone through and are going through, and I see you keep trusting Jesus. I see you go through things that many people would have given up on Jesus a long time ago. know that your faith is genuine. Now, when you hear of the prosperity gospel and hear of the promise of what health, wealth, and happiness, look actually where the real treasure is. Let me read from verse 6 again. In this you rejoice. Even now, for a little while, you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire. I don't know what the most valuable thing that you own is, but know that if you're a Christian, the most valuable thing that you have is your faith in Jesus. More precious than gold. More precious than gold. The prosperity gospel offers health, wealth, and happiness, cars, money, brands. Jesus offers you a faith that is more precious than gold, and he gives it to you. As a pastor, I see people suffering. It's one of those privileges and burdens that you get when you become a pastor, that you see people going through suffering and grief, and for some reason push God away. It's sad that they push God away and use their suffering as a reason to say, I don't want to have anything to do with God. And it's sad because the suffering that comes shows just how precious your faith in Jesus is. It's God's refining. And as we go through suffering, as God protects us, as we wait for the inheritance that's being kept for us, we'll experience new depths and new dimensions of God's faithfulness to us in Christ. As we go through suffering, know that we're being kept. Know that our faith is being proved genuine. Know that God will use it. God will use it to show us his faithfulness as we lament, as we grieve, as we press into the hurt. God will use it. God will know it. Let me encourage you, friends, to keep going. Don't use your suffering as a reason to push God away, to say, oh, he's a cruel, vindictive God. Know that God's got you. Know that God's keeping you. Keep walking with Jesus. Life will not be easy. Suffering and pain are part of this world. It's in the air that we breathe. But those who trust Jesus, you who trust Jesus, you have a living hope. You have a reason to rejoice, Peter says. You have a God who will never leave you or forsake you. Let's pray.